Welcome to the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast, a product of the Health Policy Research Consortium, a CTIS program, your weekly podcast empowering communities to use policy as a vehicle to improve their health and learn how to mobilize your community to create positive change where you live, work, and worship. Wait not a minute more. It's time to get started with the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast.
Welcome to the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Terrell, and joining me is Crystal Reed, the Vice President of Public Health Research Services at CTIS, and she is the Program Director of the Health Policy Research Consortium. Crystal, welcome.
Thank you, Patricia.
So tell us, who is HPRC?
Well, HPRC, the Health Policy Research Consortium, is a U54 cooperative agreement funded by the National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities. It was funded in terms of a grant to our parent company, CTIS, so that we could study and focus on health disparities, looking through a policy lens, first starting in Prince George's County, and then moving on to NIH's designated Region 3, which includes D.C., Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Delaware.
So what is HPRC's mission?
Well, our mission is really to focus more on the intersect of policy and science and how it can affect health outcomes. Health disparities is something that's been focused on for quite some time, but we look at it through a policy lens. So not just health policy, but looking at it from a health and all policies perspective. There's a lot of things in a person's life that affect them that they may not see as health policy. So looking from like a social determinants of health perspective, looking at access to care, education levels, the environment and how it affects your health outcomes, transportation needs, things of that nature that you might not literally see as health policy. But if transportation is causing someone to not have access to the proper health care because you do not have enough public transportation to get you to the doctor, you find yourself taking 3 buses and a train to get there, that's a problem.
And why is that a problem?
It's more so a problem because it inhibits your ability to access health care. Mm. If you can't get there in an easy way, sometimes you may say, forget it, I'm not going to go.
That's true.
And that's a problem.
Absolutely. So how long has HPRC been around? How are you funded?
Well, we are a 5-year grant that has been funded by NIMHD. We started in
NIMHD?
Yes,
okay.
Excuse me, which is the National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities.
Okay.
We started in 2014, and we are now in the 5th year of our grant.
And who is your audience?
We take an approach where we want to reach everyone. So who we view as Joe Blow community member, they're really the people that we want to reach. The other parallel to that is that we also have to reach out to policymakers because we found that a lot of times policymakers do not understand the importance of health outcomes when they are making these decisions in terms of policy. But getting back to community, I think that's one of our major factors because we really want to be a force that informs policy to the community so that they feel educated and empowered enough themselves so that they will reach out to their local politicians to let them know, hey, this is affecting my health. What are we going to do about it?
And so how do you go about communicating your policy research findings?
Well, we have a multi-tiered approach. We use a lot of social media in terms of outreach. We have a Facebook page. We have Twitter. We also have various publications that we have produced that we disseminate to local doctors' offices, community centers, faith-based organizations, just to make sure that we're reaching our target audience. In addition to that, we do a lot of community outreach in the form of health policy forums. We've been charged to not only reach out in this area of the DMV, but also those other areas in Region 3 that I mentioned. So we partner with other organizations. We'll see what's the hot health policy topic in that particular area, and we'll reach out and form a health policy forum where we'll have as many as 100 or 200 participants from the community, where it actually gives us an opportunity to have a voice and to really inform them on public policy and health.
And with the rise in the baby boomers, do you visit a lot of senior citizen centers?
Well, it's interesting that you said that, because we actually had an initiative where we coined it Cyber Seniors, and we would visit various senior citizen homes in our reach and just kind of talk to them about the importance of technology and being able to navigate and learn more about Medicare, Medicaid, healthcare access and things of that nature. So that has absolutely been something. The area of seniors and geriatrics is something that we did have a major focus on.
And that is very, very important today, more so than ever.
Absolutely.
And so when you think about back to school, do you have programs where you go out and you reach out to the schools as well?
We do. We actually have a what we call it's an MOU, which is a Memorandum of Understanding, which puts us in partnership with Prince George's County Public School System. And it allows us to interact with them to, again, assure the importance of health and health policy. We have learned traditionally that if you teach something to a child, they will take it home to their parents. So that was our mission in that regard, just giving them elementary tools that they could utilize just to understand the importance of nutrition, the importance of diet, the importance of access to care, and taking that home to their parents. Additionally, we did host a healthcare extravaganza at the onset of a school year where we had various vendors there who actually did health assessments in-house. We had various public speakers from the county council as well as Prince George's County Board of Education, and we did a backpack giveaway, which was a really good pull in because it allowed like 200 citizens from Prince George's County and South County, which in particular faces a lot of these health policy issues that we talked about, to actually come in with their children, get some necessary screenings that they may not normally get, as well as leave with a backpack full of school supplies.
Wow.
Which was very successful.
Yeah, so I'm thinking immunization discussions, because so many parents are reluctant to immunize.
Absolutely. So immunization, vaccines, the importance of oral health care, diet, nutrition. We literally had a cooking demonstration going on where the gentleman taught them the importance of produce and having healthy options in terms of your meals.
Yeah. And the more I talk to you about public policy and learning about what the Health Policy Research Consortium, what you do, it's amazing how public policy can affect all these areas that we never really think about.
Absolutely. And that's what, as the program director, that is my mission. I mean, I know people are always talking about the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. It's kind of at a high level. But to be able to reach that community member and let them know, hey, you deserve to have a safe neighborhood that's walkable.
Yes.
People should not fear exercising in their neighborhood because, one, the roads are unlevel, the sidewalks are unlevel, or two, just public safety issues in general. That becomes a public health problem. If persons do not feel comfortable walking in their neighborhoods because of crime, that's an issue. And it literally affects their health.
Absolutely. And we're going to learn in one of your future episodes about how people can actually be empowered to change the policy in the communities where they live.
Absolutely.
In ways that they probably never even thought about.
Right. So we look at it as community engagement and community mobilization. We want to serve as a factor that gives them the tools that they need so that even if HPRC is not around, they still are equipped to go out and talk to their policymakers and feel comfortable saying, hey, this is what I need. I'm a taxpayer. What are we going to do to make this happen?
So let me see if I can bring it to a level that for me to understand, because this is all kind of new to me as far as policy. Sometimes when I remember thinking about policy, I would think, oh, it's too complicated. It's too technical. I would tune out.
Right.
But I find it so interesting because basically we're seeing all of that shape now on a larger scale on the national, the federal level.
Absolutely.
And so now this basically you're letting people know that they are empowered to do this at the local level.
Absolutely. So that's one thing that we talk about. You start at the local level and then you go to the regional level and then it goes to the national level.
Mm-hmm.
We have an area in West Virginia, which falls under our region in Clay County, where they literally have closed every grocery store in the county. That's a problem. where do you go to get viable food and produce if you do not have a grocery store in your area?
That's
and that
right.
is a policy issue. Unfortunately, we as community members have not been educated in a way that we know, hey, this is a policy issue. Who am I going to go talk to?
And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I just saw on the news where a similar thing happened with a grocery store in the district. And basically, they were getting bad produce, didn't have enough food in there. And finally, someone went to their local council person and they had a meeting with the grocery store managers. And I never would have thought that would have been a public policy issue.
Absolutely.
And then when they followed up a couple of days later, the store was pristine, had stock like you would not believe.
See, that's positive change. Those are exactly the outcomes that we're looking for.
Yes. Normally, somebody like me, I would complain about it and maybe not go to the store again.
Right.
But that's not the way to do it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, but you would be amazed. Once you talk to people, it's funny. When we first got started, there's certain areas, in particular in Prince George's County or the district or speaking of D.C. or Virginia, where people may feel that the community does not care. Mm-hmm. That is totally untrue. We have participated in enough community meetings to know that people care. And even in the county itself, it's such a disparity just amongst the county. Like North County, you may see a lot of positive things that affect your health that you may not see in South County. We went and we did a forum in Capitol Heights where a gentleman literally mentioned that the playgrounds in his area does not have hand sanitizer like the playgrounds in Greenbelt. And, you know, that's something that you're like, okay, you wouldn't even think of it as a big deal. But people are affected and they're like, what can we do to make that happen in our area as well? People really do care. You just have to go out and engage the community.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to stress here, that even though we're talking about all of this on a regional level, you can apply this no matter where you live.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can apply it anywhere. I mean, we just happen to be fortunate that we are literally in the backyard of NIH. And NIH did take notice that there are a lot of disparate communities in this area. In particular, I don't know if I mentioned it, but our grant started with a focus in Prince George's County, Maryland. The reason we did that is because Prince George's County is such an affluent community in terms of economics. It's very diverse in its makeup. It's probably one of the most affluent African-American counties in the United States, not just in the state of Maryland. But when you look at their health outcomes, some of them are deplorable when you look at them in comparison to some of the neighboring areas. So when you look at Montgomery County, you look at some of the areas in Virginia, what is it that's happening in those areas that is not happening in Prince George's County?
And when you say their outcomes, you mean like illnesses and...
Absolutely. When you look at the amount of chronic diseases, when you look at the obesity rates, when you look at just the health makeup of those areas and you do a contrast with race, gender, ethnicity, there's definitely some disparities there.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of it may have to do with the type of stores that are located in some of those areas. If you don't have stores that have great produce available and a lot of fast food, that's going to have an impact on the outcomes.
You do, and you bring up a good point. There's some areas that we consider, we call them food deserts and food swamps. So a food desert would be a place like the area in Clay County that I mentioned earlier that does not have a grocery store. It's a desert. You do not have access to the quality foods that you need to be a healthy individual. And then on the other side of that is a food swamp. You literally go to an intersection and you see a fast food restaurant on every corner of that intersection. One thing we noticed through our research is some areas in Montgomery County do not have fast food restaurants. And if they do, you would notice that some of them do not have drive-throughs, which causes people to literally get out of their car, make a conscious decision, and walk to that restaurant, which, you know, literally encourages exercise.
That's right, and discourage them from going in there. Yes, that's right. Amazing.
It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have some areas in California that I would actually encourage people to research this a little further. They're called Blue Zone communities.
And what are they?
Blue Zone communities. And in those particular particular communities, they have come together as a neighborhood and a community to say, hey, we're not going to have this stuff in our neighborhoods. They literally walk children to school so that they don't have to ride on the buses, but the communities actually come together and make sure that happens. They do not have a vast amount of access to fast food restaurants in their communities. You know, things of that nature. You just want to kind of empower communities to come together, because there's so many things that you can do on your own as long as policies are in place so that you feel safe while you're actually going for these health ventures.
So tell us, for the time that you've been around, you're in your fifth year, what accomplishment that you're most proud of?
Well, one of the things that I am proud of outside of our community outreach is also the fact that we have embraced that policy is our science. The Health Policy Research Consortium, which came out of NIH, is really a trailblazer, because NIH, this is the first time that they've actually looked at policy as a science. Most of the research that is done is clinical in nature, and even the research that's done on the social sciences does not involve policy. So that's really a huge thing for us. As a result of that, we have published various publications, I would say at least 20 to 25 publications that we literally disseminate for free to the community to educate them, as well as we have published a publication in the Journal of Racial and Ethnic Health Disparities, which focuses on health policy responsiveness, lessons learned from Maryland and Prince George's County. And the reason I'm proud of that is because we were actually sitting around the room one day when we first started out, and our principal investigator, Mr. Kwasi Mfume, actually threw a thought to us on the table that says, what happens to a jurisdiction that lacks policy? So it had kind of become the mantra of our research at that present time. And we looked into it and we saw that Prince George's County, which has a lot of jurisdictions and areas, there's a lot of unincorporated areas. So when you look at some of the areas in South Prince George's County, like Marlow Heights, Temple Hills, Suitland, some of those areas that have a lot of health issues, chronic disease issues, health disparity issues, they are not incorporated, which means they do not have a governing body that literally, you know, looks at policies at the local area to assure that they have access and some of the other things that they need.
How can that happen?
We wondered the same thing. And even at this point, I cannot give you an answer as to how it happened. But what we have noticed is that those areas that do have a governing body tend to have better health outcomes.
That's amazing. I want to do a show on that.
Absolutely.
In the
I think so too.
So
it really is. And we, you know, we did a, you know, a deep dive into it, and we were able to produce a great publication. But you're right. I mean, that's a study in itself.
Okay. So what is HPRC's vision for the future?
Well, our vision for the future, recognizing that we are a five-year grant, we're at a point of sustainability, recognizing that we've done such great work under this grant and being so appreciative that NIMHD saw it as something that was worth funding and actually providing more research to. We're at a point now where we want to see how can we continue this great work. It's really a good feeling to go to sleep at night knowing that your job makes a difference. The fact that we're able to reach out to communities that would not normally have a lens on them for topics such as this. We're in a mode now where we're just going to see what other great work we can do, kind of getting our niche with some other funders so that we can continue to do this great work.
Okay. Well, you are doing a great job, and we're happy that we have someone out there looking out for us in terms of how we can affect policy to improve our health in the communities where we live. So tell us how we can learn more about the Health Policy Research Consortium.
Well, we do have those social media outlets that I have mentioned. You can follow us on Facebook. You can also follow us on our website, which is www.hprc.info. We have a blog that we actually produce weekly, which talks about health policy issues in the region. And the blog can be located at www.hprc.info.tumblr.com.
Well, great. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast. Remember, you have the power to use policy to improve your picture of health where you live, work, and worship. For more information on the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast, visit our website at www.hprc.info and like us on our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr.
The research and information that we report during this show was supported by the National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities of the National Institutes of Health under award number 5U54MD008-60802. The content is solely the responsibility of the authors and does not necessarily represent the official views of the National Institutes of Health.